What's up, guys? Hey, this is Scott from Iron Will Strength. This is episode 126 of Strong the Iron Will Way. So one of the keys to being successful at this thing long term is the ability to kind of bend the rules, so to speak, and still be successful. So let me explain what I mean by that. So I can remember early on in my training career when I was not super well versed in nutrition for kind of your normal person. So let me explain. I started out my kind of foray into this training thing was I became a bodybuilder. Started working out when I was probably 17 or 18, and around 21 I entered my first bodybuilding contest. So most of the information that I had consumed and learned by reading and experimenting on myself was about bodybuilding. So dieting, learning how to eat, was kind of what we call bodybuilding nutrition. So it was great for putting on muscle and taking off fat when you were competing, but it was very, very strict, very, very limited. So when I would try to coach other people on how to eat for results, it was difficult because they were not necessarily at the same level of commitment that I was, because they were not competitive athletes. They were just trying to lose weight and get in shape. So the techniques from bodybuilding training would work, but they were too difficult for people to stick to. And then I really didn't have the ability to guide them on like a kind of diet. You know what I'm saying? I could only guide them on the strict diet that I knew. So it was kind of all or nothing. So a lot of people would not be able to follow it. And I found as I went along in my career that clients would often find a similar scenario when they'd go to, I'd refer them out, say, hey, look, and I think you might need to go see a nutritionist. I'll manage your training and the gym stuff. You go manage the nutrition stuff with somebody who's more of an expert than me. So they would go hire a nutritionist and come back and say, you know what? The nutritionist put me on this program, but it's just too strict. I can't do it. You know, I can't eat organic six times a day. I can't eat even food six times a day. I can't eat all egg whites for breakfast. I can't do this, can't do that. So they would also kind of bail on that program after a few months or weeks or days. So it became obvious to me that we need to find some plans that are livable, particularly if we're planning to do this for a long period of time. You know, we can do anything for a few months, no matter how strict it is. But when it becomes something that's really limiting and hard to live with, we're not going to see long-term success, right? So we got to look for ways to kind of cheat the system a little bit, if you may, to make this something you can do for a longer period of time. So let's start, and then we can do this in a lot of ways, but I'm going to start with just a couple. Let's look at eating. So perfect world, right? We're eating lean proteins, fruits and vegetables for the majority of our carbohydrates, and we're eating good starches for our kind of pre and post workout meals, depending on our carbohydrate intake. That could be, you know, oatmeal, potatoes, things of that nature. Our proteins are eggs, chicken, lean meats, turkey, and if you're vegetarian, you know, healthy versions of that stuff. But that's not really reality, right? I mean, not, you know, if you look at most people, even us, you look at the trainers, like we're not eating like that every day. We're certainly not eating like that every meal. And very few people actually are. But yet, a lot of people are finding a lot of success, even if they're not eating exactly that way. So how does that happen? Well, let's look at, for example, the carbohydrates. So we all like our share of sweets and yummy stuff here and there. The trick is knowing how to bend the rules so that some of the rules still apply, meaning that before, during, or after a workout, your body utilizes carbohydrates more effectively than it does at other times throughout the day, particularly simple sugars. So sweet, starchy things, yummy things, will be used differently if they're consumed pre or post workout, or even intra workout, than they would be if they're consumed at 9 o'clock at night before going to bed, right? So when you consume a simple carbohydrate, sugary, sweet stuff, your insulin level rises, your blood sugar level rises all pretty quickly. And that's actually optimal at workout time. It's not optimal at other times. So if you're somebody that tends to have a craving for sugary cereal, toast with jelly, I don't know, things of that nature. I can't think of anything off the top of my head besides that, but like just the sugary sweet stuff, or even like things that aren't technically your good clean carbs, like English muffins or bagels, or shoot, for a while there we had a stash of Pop-Tarts at the gym. At any given time you could find like two boxes of Pop-Tarts, because we were using Pop-Tarts for our pre-workout carbohydrate. So that, if you have a tendency to want that stuff and you just don't have it for months or weeks, you're just gonna lose your, you're gonna lose your shit, right? And then you're gonna snap and you're gonna binge and you're gonna eat them all weekend. What's better is to say, hey, I'm not gonna be 100% strict, but when I wanna have my Pop-Tarts, my freaking Captain Crunch, I'm gonna have it right before I go work out. I'm gonna have it right after I work out so that I can take advantage of that sugar burst, that carbohydrate burst, that insulin burst, and put it to work for my muscles, right? I'm not gonna have a sugar burst, an insulin burst, and then lay down and go to bed and promote fat storage, okay? So that's trick number one, is take your crappy carbs, I like to call them, your yummy carbs, and have them around workout time. And the good thing about that is when you know you can do that, and when you do that somewhat regularly, you'll be able to not have them at other times throughout the day, because you'll satisfy that sweet craving. Same thing with drinks, like sugary drinks. So let's say you really just are jonesing for lemonade or soda or some kind of juice. You know, juice needs to be, sugary drinks really need to be limited in a fat loss program. But again, during workouts, pre-workout, post-workout, if you have to have it, that's going to be an advantageous time to have it. So just remember to factor all these things into your total carbohydrate intake. So you don't want to add these on top of your good carbs. What you want to do is kind of replace your, what you would normally have for pre or post workout, with your crappy carb, so that you're not adding numbers to your total carb intake, but you're just having a different kind of source of it. Another way to do that is if you think about alcohol, right? So alcohol should obviously be limited in a fat loss kind of a healthy nutrition plan, okay? But the reality of it is not everybody's gonna eliminate alcohol, okay? So the trick is, how do you minimize the impact that this alcohol is gonna have on your body and your results? Now this is gonna require a little experimentation as well, but for example, I know if I wanna have a few drinks and I have like a vodka or tequila with club soda, some lime, I can have a couple and really honestly not see a big negative impact on my physique or my, even my energy levels for that matter, the next day. Not at all the same for the equivalent of beer or wine. So if I had a couple beers or a couple glasses of wine, I quickly notice that I'm accumulating body fat from that habit really quick. So if I'm gonna have alcohol, I'll make sure that it's you know, one that kind of my body tolerates well, which seems to be like a clear liquor type of deal. Now, I don't think that's going to be the same for everybody. I couldn't even tell you exactly why that's the case. You know, some people would say that there's, the wine is more quote unquote sugary. Some people would say that the kind of estrogen-like thing is in beer, blah, blah, blah. Who the hell knows, you know? There's something to be said for just not always having to know why, but just knowing that this, when I do A, B happens, right? So I think about a lot of times, many moons ago, when there would be the medicine man of the tribe would know that when somebody is sick, we give them this. You know, when somebody is hurt, we give them this. When we need to feel better, we take this. When we need energy, we take this. When we're going to be going on a hunt for a long period of time without food, we bring this. Those people, I don't imagine, knew always why or what the kind of active ingredient was or what the impact this had on that. I think they just knew, they just looked at the results. You know, when we do this, this happens, and paid attention to that and then continue to make choices based on that. I feel like we have to be able to do that with our own bodies. So maybe what I'm telling you about the alcohol only works for me, and maybe for somebody else, they'll find, hey, I notice when I drink vodka and club soda, I really feel crappy the next day and I feel like I put weight on. But if I have a glass of wine or two, it doesn't affect me. Beautiful. Perfect. That's your answer. But just know that there will be a difference between those things. Same thing with foods. You know, which ones, really feel like they're sticking to your ribs, put weight on you, and which ones don't. So there's a couple of tricks, guys, just to like start thinking of ways to get around the rules, so to speak, because ultimately, long-term success, you're going to have to bend the rules a little bit. You're never going to be able to stay 1,000% strict all the time and be successful. Okay, now from a workout standpoint, how do you cheat the system, right? So this is probably a place where you really can't cheat the system a whole lot, but at the end of the day, you will have to a little bit, right? So what I mean by that is maybe optimally, you're going to work out 4 days a week. You're going to hit workout for an hour or so every time, blah, blah, blah. There's going to be periods of time where you're crunched, right? You can't get your 4 workouts in. You can't spend an hour there. So what do you do when it's a day that you're like, shit, my gym time is cut short because I have to be someplace by a certain time. I really want to get there, which, by the way, is definitely the mindset to have. So if you're like, oh, shoot, I can only get there for 25 minutes versus an hour, the person who will be successful in the long term will figure out a way to make that 25 minutes most effective. The person who's not going to be successful long term is going to blow it off and say, well, if I can't do an hour, I might as well not bother. That is 1,000% the wrong mindset. Don't ever think, if I can't do this, then I'm not going to do anything. That's terrible thinking, and that will apply to everything. This throws people off course with nutrition all the time. You know, oh, I blew it for breakfast, I blew it for dinner, I'm just going to fucking blow it for the whole weekend. Like, just get back on track. So from a workout standpoint, if I'm like, hey, I only have 25 minutes today instead of my normal hour, I'm definitely not going to blow it off. What I'm going to do is think about which of my exercises are going to be the most effective, the most bang for the buck, and I'm going to make sure that I spend my 25 minutes doing those, not the other exercises that may be good exercises, but not as productive. So the most productive movements are going to be ones that we call compound exercises and that use lots of muscles at one time. So we have the squat, we have the deadlift, we have the bench press, we have overhead press, barbell row, things that are big movements. A good way to think about it might be the exercises that you can use the most weight doing, right? So if your normal workout routine consists of some deadlifts, some presses, some curls, some rows, some tricep pushdowns, some crunches, some core rotations, heavy core work, you know, I would not go in and do bicep curls and crunches, right? Where I'm working small muscle groups in what we call isolation, that doesn't have a lot of impact on your entire metabolism or your entire body. Where if you were to say, hey, I only got 25 minutes, I'm gonna thoroughly warm up doing some rotational core work, and then I'm gonna bang out 5 sets of deadlifts and alternate it with 5 sets of overhead press, there's probably not a muscle on your body that's not getting worked in those 3 exercises. And if you worked really hard on those 3 for 25 minutes, you could pat yourself on the back that you got a good workout and get out of there. So overall, big program, you'd probably want to do some more stuff than that. But you could get by on literally those 2 exercises or those 3 exercises. Probably, you could probably do those 3 times a week for 3 months and kick some ass, right? So it's just a matter of choosing effective movements versus movements that are just movements. Now, another good way to do that, little trick, if you're doing your own programming, your own planning, you're going to the gym sometimes and you're not following a plan, which I would not recommend. I think you should always have a plan. But sometimes if you're going in to get one on your own, or when you're designing your own workouts, think about the things that you least want to do. And those are probably the things you should be doing. Because we'll have a tendency to choose the things that we're already good at, things that are enjoyable for us. Well, they're probably enjoyable for us because we are good at them and they're not that hard for us. What we probably need to be doing is the things that are difficult for us because they're difficult because it's probably an area of weakness that we need to focus on. So there you go, dudes. A couple little tricks for, making this thing work long term and when things aren't all going as planned, or you can't stick to the 100% plan, you can stick to the 80% plan, and you can go quite a ways on that. That's it, guys. Have a great day.